came in for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bay route toward the corner of the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome into Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain here. Robert, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
All right, so obviously you have played in the NFC South a lot. For people who don't know your background, you've been in Atlanta, you've been in Carolina, now here with the Bucs. So playing Drew Brees is not a new thing for you. So tell us a little bit about just overall the challenges of playing Drew Brees and what you saw from him yesterday.
Him being a veteran quarterback, you know, he recognizes a lot of defensive formations and different things you throw at him. You know, he's played football for a long time. So playing a quarterback like that, you really have to be on your P's and Q's. Every little thing you do, he sees and kind of can know what you're in based off, you know, just movements. You know, it was just, you know, there's just stuff you have to be aware about playing a quarterback, you know, of his caliber.
We talked about how all week that they seemed like such a more balanced offense than in years past, where their entire game plan seemed like, Drew, throw the ball as far as you can, as often as you can. And now all of a sudden they have these running backs and who are also catching balls. And so what kind of complications did that present for you guys, knowing that it was not just about trying to contain Drew Brees, but now you had all these other weapons as well?
Yeah, you know, he's always been a quarterback to, you know, throw it to multiple receivers. He's throwing it less downfield. I guess, you know, he's been able to throw it to more weapons, you know, on intermediate routes. You know, he's still throwing the ball deep, but he's not throwing it as deep as often. But he's still still an efficient quarterback that's still able to get the ball down the field still, but just not throwing it down the field as much.
And so at one point it was 9-3, felt completely still in range and in control, mm-hmm. and then just it seemed like it spiraled so quickly. Is that how it felt on the field, and what led to that?
Yeah, it was just a lot of things going just the way we didn't want them to go, you know, missed tackles and, you know, just not executing certain plays, you know, just things that, you know, wish we could just go back and get those plays back, but we can't now. And, you know, looking at the film today, you know, you kind of see, you know, some of the plays that we're close to making. But once Sunday's done, it's like, hey, man, you can't go back to that day, and you've got to try to keep working every week in practice.
And so how is a Monday, you know, after a tough loss like that, what do you guys do when you get in here, and what's the mindset of the team?
To look over the film, look at the mistakes you've made, look at ways you can get better. You know, that's how it is after a loss, even with a win. You know, it's tough with the loss. You know, you beat yourself up so much about it because you want to do better the next week. But you have to, you know, you have to really be able to take the coaching and realize what you did wrong and realize that, you know, other teams are going to see these things and that we have to make corrections for them now or nothing's going to change.
And you technically have two position coaches, so how does that affect when you guys are going over film and game plans and stuff? What are their roles, and how do you interact with the two of them, especially maybe on a Monday?
Our safeties coach, Coach Maxey, and then our corner coach, Coach Hoke, and then even Coach Perk, you know, they're all working together to kind of make sure that we're all communicating, because even though we're separate positions, safety and corner, we have to be able to communicate and be on the same page, because a lot of stuff we do is based off of knowing our leverage and knowing what the safety is also doing. So, you know, having multiple coaches just only helps us communicate better.
And I know that you and Brent Grimes are really close, especially because you've played together before. So first, explain to us a little bit about who he is on the field and how, you know, you felt the absence of him yesterday and the other games that he's had to miss. What does he add when he is out there on the field for you guys?
Yeah, you know, he's that veteran Pro Bowl corner that is just, you know, can make a play anytime, you know. You know, I try to assimilate a lot of my game from him and try to learn as much and pick his brain as much as I can. You know, he's a guy that's always going to have fun out there and is going to enjoy himself. You know, I've known him for a long time. And, you know, I look up to him like a brother. And it's just fun. It's just fun, you know, having him out there. Even when he's not playing, you know, he's still a guy on the sideline that you can go to and talk to about a certain play and certain stuff happening out there, you know. And to really pick his brain about a lot of stuff. But, you know, the entire defense misses him, his energy, and, you know, his game-breaking ability.
And we were joking with him in the locker room before this about how he loves soccer so much and is always like, that's part of his warm-up routine is dribbling the football like a soccer ball around and juggling it. Has he done that as long as you've known him?
Yeah, he's always doing weird things pre-game or, like, pre-practice. You know, he's always a fine-oiled machine that rarely stretches. You know, he's a... he's a guy that's just a freak of nature. And his pregame workouts and pre whatever he does for a lot of stuff is always off the charts. So you never Grimey never really does conventional things to kind of get ready for stuff. So he kind of does his own thing.
Have you been amazed at the fact that he seems to not age?
Yeah, he's Benjamin Button, literally. So I always tell him he's Benjamin Button, and he just continues to, you know, to gracefully age, I guess, you know?
Yeah, and it's you have familiarity not only with him, but also Mike Smith. You know, you guys were all in Atlanta together. So how did that help you coming in here, having both Brent Grimes and Mike Smith already?
You know, it helped me with the familiarity of the defense. And, you know, just being able to know the terminology and knowing, like, my technique and what I have to do with certain things. You know, being able to come and not even have to worry about the technique part of it and just having to worry about learning terminology helped me, you know, get the defense faster and be able to play faster also.
And you've been asked to do a lot of different things in the defense where you've had to play outside, you've had to play inside, especially, you know, injuries have kind of mixed you guys around a little bit. So how did you prepare to do all those different things that you've been asked to do, especially when you are – it is maybe a defense you've been in before, but it was still a new group of guys and a new system in some ways that you were in this year.
I like playing all the positions, you know, whether I have to play safety, corner, left corner, nickel, right corner, doesn't matter to me. You know, I like to be able to learn the entire defense so I can play faster, so I know what other guys' jobs are, so I know where my help is on certain plays or where I can look to make a play here because I know my guy's going to be here and stuff, so. You know, the ability that I have to, you know, play multiple positions, just me just being in the extra meeting rooms and studying extra game film and whatnot to be able to put myself in position and make plays.
Tell us the differences in how you would approach if you know you're going to play a game at outside versus nickel. What are the different things that you would have to do to be prepared for those two different positions?
First, I have to know who I'm going to be covering most of the time at that position if I'm playing nickel. You know, kind of certain concepts and routes they like to throw to the nickel position or, you know, certain formations that they may line up in to beat the nickel position. So when I'm playing that position during the week, I look at primarily, you know, routes that are going to be attacked for the nickel and routes I can look to, you know, either make a play on that if I have good vision on. You know, it's just a bunch of little things during the week that I'll look at formationally, player-wise, personnel, it's a bunch of little tips and stuff that the coaches give us during the week. You know, even playing outside corner, I kind of look at the receiver I'll probably covering the most outside and what routes they like to run. You know, it's a little different because you have the sideline as an outside corner, and nickel, you have pretty much 53 yards of field to cover. So I have to change up my technique just a little bit.
Do you like one more than the other?
You know, playing outside, you just get a little more vision, but you also have a little more opportunity to, if you do have an error that there's nobody else out there, you know,
at least
at the nickel, you know, even though you have to cover a lot of grass, you know, you do have players closer to your proximity to, you know, be there to help you make other plays out on the field also, but there's a slight difference like that.
It does seem like you have to have a very specific mentality to be alone, just you covering one guy, knowing it's that play is kind of all riding on you, even though there's 10 other guys out there helping.
Yeah.
It's got to feel like it's just you out there.
Yeah, it's a lot of grass out there at times. It feels a little lonely sometimes out there on as a corner, as a nickel. You know, it's just you anticipating everything this man in front of you is going to do. You know, everything we do as a DB or as a corner covering these guys is based off of anticipation and reading another person running forward, so as we're going backwards. So it's a tough position, but we've done it for a long period of time where we're used to a lot of things.
And like I said earlier, you'd played in this division a ton. How did that help you coming in here? Did you feel like you already had a lot of familiarity with these teams, and does that let you kind of help some of the newer guys on the defense, or people just know what to expect when you play these division opponents?
Yeah, you know, playing teams, you know, in our division twice a year and being in this division for as long as I've been in it, you know, you see the same guys throughout the division and similar concepts and similar routes, and the quarterbacks of our conference hasn't really changed much. And so guys are going every year by year. That's why our division is always so tight. You know, we just know each other. And, you know, it's just about, you know, just executing on Sundays. The games are going to be close. You know, you've got to go out there and try to execute as best you can.
And now that we've played the Saints once and you guys saw, you know, how it went. I know it wasn't how you guys wanted it to go. what are the big things you think you're going to have to take away from it that, you know, the beauty of a divisional opponent, you get a second shot at them later in the season. What do you think you're going to have to do as a defense the next time you face them?
Try to get as many turnovers as possible, just more third down stops and definitely better tackling. We were just sloppy tackling on Sunday. There's a lot of extra yardage, you know, through missed tackles that we've had from the game from after just watching it. And, you know, if we improve with that, and this, we just have to execute better. You know, a lot of stuff we just didn't execute.
And I know there were definitely some injuries Sunday, which is always difficult. And I know one that obviously was really scary was Will Golston, which we were very happy to hear. You know, he flew back with the team, and that looked really scary for a bit. What is that like to be on the field for an injury like that when you don't know what's going on, but it looks so serious?
Yeah, it's scary because, you know, you see the trucks and everybody's quiet, and, you know, you see the benches and the doctors and the medical staff come out. And when you see them put this stuff, you know, lifting the face mask up and a bunch of little crazy things they did, you know, it's kind of, you don't know what's happening. And you, on top of that, you can't walk over there, you know, for emergency reasons. So it's kind of, it's hard seeing a player because, you know, we all, any player from any team, you know, it's hard seeing that because we all play hard and we're all doing it for our families or for whatever reasons. And nobody wants to see anybody get hurt out there on the field. So this is tough seeing it.
Yeah, that's going to be challenging. And so I know that I saw at one point especially then something had gone rough on the offensive side, and then you guys were coming back out on the defense, and I saw you running around individually trying to fire up every single guy on that defense. So for you, what do you see as your role on the field besides just the X's and O's? You've been in this league for a really long time, but you are still, you know, a newer player to this team. So how do you kind of view your leadership you need to have or the role you need to play outside of just doing your actual X's and O's job?
Yeah, because I don't really like to say much. I mean, guys know me. I'm going to be having fun, laughing, joking around. And when it's time for me to be serious and do my job, I'm going to do my job 100% to the best of my ability. And I feel as though, you know, I just have to try to, you know, when things go wrong, this is to keep that motivation and energy and confidence up. Because, like, I've seen it before. You know, there's been times in my career I haven't been too confident sometimes. And I know the kind of body language that it looks like when things go wrong, what it looks like. And, you know, being an older player now, I kind of, you know, you kind of could spot those as stuff. So I just try to give as much energy and confidence to the players or to the team as much as I can to try to help us, you know, rally back and get win.
All right. We still have tons more coming up on Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain. And we've gotten to hear a little bit about him, the football player. Now we're going to hear a little bit about him, the person, coming up. Tons of stuff like art and tattoos and Supercross, I think. So stay with us. We got tons more here. Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain. All right, we talked a little bit about the Saints game and overall just you as a football player a bit. So now is when we get to know Robert McClain, the person, being new to the team this year. I'm sure there was a lot of people who didn't know a ton about your background. So on the football side, you're one of those people that has a little bit of the, like, less conventional entrance to the league, that the seventh round pick, you know, you're the long shot in some ways to make the team there. And then you have been released a few times. You went one whole season just without playing in the league. And then so what was it about you that enabled you to stick with it and eventually land and be able to become a veteran in this league, which is a hard thing to be?
Just my motivation. You know, my goal is always, you know, at least play 10 years when it's in the NFL. And I'm trying to just accomplish that goal as best as I can, and just by keep working hard and trying to play as consistent as I can year by year. You know, it hasn't been easy. You know, you don't get as many opportunities being a seventh round pick, but I just had to keep fighting and scrapping and just keep believing. So
it's pretty cool. And you also have sort of an idea already of what your post football career might be. If people don't know, you're really into art. So for people who don't know, tell them a little bit about where that love came from when you realized also that you were actually good at it. It wasn't just something you liked doing.
Yeah, you know, it started, you know, when I was younger in elementary school, you know, the kids, you know, were all drawing and doing stuff in the summers and things like that. So one summer, the big thing was in fourth grade, or going into fourth grade, was just Dragon Ball Z, you know, anime stuff. And guys were drawing a bunch of Dragon Ball Z characters, so I started drawing them, you know, just to kind of do what everybody else was doing at the time, and my stuff came out pretty good, and God, people were like, oh, like, wow, yeah, I didn't know you could draw. And I'm like, I didn't know either, you know? So I just, it was something I just stuck with, and my mom kind of gave me a background, you know, my uncle went to art school and how it runs in our family.
Oh,
and
wow.
Stuff. And I just ended up sticking with it.
Stick figures must run in my family.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I think what really motivated me was my sister. She was in second grade, I think, and I think I was in fifth grade, and she had this little squiggly line art project, whatever it was, but it had got, like, they allowed it to be in, like, their school art show. You know, they picked certain kids' stuff to be in an art show, and hers was allowed and mine wasn't. So I was like, man, I gotta get good.
Can't let the sister win.
Right, so I was like, I gotta get good. You know, we're my siblings were all competitive, so I wanted my art to be good, and I think that kind of motivated me. That also motivated me too. But yeah, it's just something I've always enjoyed and loved, and just wanted to continue doing it.
So, what are the types of art that you do and the types that you don't do?
Well, I used to not paint, and I started painting more 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But I really do all types of art besides sculpting. I just don't like using my hands to build something, really. If I have instructions and steps like IKEA stuff, or like, you know, like step one, step two, I can build things all day with
my
hands.
That IKEA is almost on the verge of art because it can get challenging.
So if I can do that all day, but when it comes to like creating something with my hands, like
pottery,
sculpting, I can't do.
Have you asked Joe Hawley how he's able to do it? Have you thought about
taking
a lesson?
I haven't asked. I know he does it. I know he's good with that stuff, but I know I haven't asked him like how he even remotely approaches it, because I suck with making pots. I remember my freshman year, I took a pottery class, and my pots were just horrible. Crack, they were breaking in the flint, and it was just...
It was not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
So maybe you need to have him make one and you paint it? Is that the
good
tab
paint? Yeah, I'll paint it. Like, I go to those little pottery painting classes all the time just to paint and get free stuff and have my own stuff on them, so... Like coffee mugs and coasters and whatnot.
Get them to do the dirty work.
Yeah,
and
get
then you
them
can
dirty,
just paint it.
And I'll just customize it.
I like that. And have you ever made stuff for teammates?
Yeah, I've drawn on Vans for a lot of teammates. That's things I've done for like other players, really, that they've like worn and things like that. You know, I've done some paintings for some guys that they've you know, they paid for. And but other than that, it's like whatever they decide to come up with, customize. Or Vans, or canvases, or paintings they want, or drawings. I don't even be able to do them.
And didn't Cam Newton buy one of your paintings once?
Yeah, he bought one of my paintings. When was it, last year? It was during the year, and it was because it was sitting in. I had an interview, and it was sitting by my locker for like a month. And he finally was like, you know what? He finally seen it. I don't know. He just didn't see it for the longest, and Cam decided to buy it when he finally seen it after one of the practices.
Just right there on the spot was
right
I want that
spot.
Painting.
Yeah, it gave me a little tip too. So I was like, cool, appreciate it.
Tip.
I was like, appreciate it.
That's awesome. So, and you do have a website in case people want to see some of your stuff.
Yeah, it's mcclainsart.org, mcclainsart.org. And all my artwork is on there from, it's really just prints of my originals. All my originals are getting ready for an art show for next year. So
you're planning to do an actual show?
Yeah, I'm trying to get an art show organized where it's going to be a show where just athletes from all different sports can come that are artistic in any type of way. They just come, and it's going to be a thing where the people and the public can kind of see, like, listen, it's not just about the sports that we do, but also the other hobbies we have, which will be, you know, the art side of things.
That's awesome. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that are really surprised that they have an idea of what a football player does in his free time, and art a lot of times is not it. Is that
a fair assessment? I mean, I do a bunch of cool stuff, and I'd rather not be singled out just as a football player. I want to be broad in a lot of, and educating a lot of subjects.
So what are the other things that you do in your spare time that might surprise people?
Ride dirt bikes.
Where did that come from? Where did the love of dirt bikes come in?
Just the love of speed and motors and gas and and racing oil and racing fuel and just all that stuff, man. It's just, I just like that adrenaline rush, I guess. And
so you've actually ridden them. You don't just go. You also enjoy watching like the
professionals. I literally will take time off on the calendar to make sure I go to a supercross race. And I missed the outdoors this year. And I'm kind of disappointed because it was pretty solid outdoor year, but I missed out on the races because I was so busy doing training and doing a bunch of stuff with that. And but every year I'll make sure I'll catch I'll catch some races every year.
And have you actually raced?
No, I haven't actually raced.
This
football,
seems like a post-career decision.
This is definitely going to be post-career where it's going to be, all right, I can train a little bit more on my bike. Because the stuff they do, it looks simple on TV, but what these guys do professionally is like it's serious stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the safest idea when your body is your living.
It's not the safest or the easiest thing. It's pretty tough what they do.
Have you ever tried any of it much, like on your own, of like any of the tricks or stuff, or have you?
Oh no, I'm not even close to it. The thing is, like, it's not that they do tricks. It's more about like just the speed of it, because it's more about being efficient and going fast when they're racing. So the trick stuff they just do is really just for them, for the efficiency part of them going faster.
Right.
So like, even those slight tricks they do of going fast, making them go faster, I can't do that yet because I just don't ride enough. So.
Yeah, that's fair. That's probably a good call. Yeah. And also with your art, has that translated to also you love tattoos and making them? So did you already love tattoos in any ways, or is it the art aspect of it that drew you
to it? The art aspect drew me to it, and also, you know, my brother having tattoos when I was younger. And then he also got my first tattoo. And then, you know, when they always tell you, you get your first tattoo, you're going to want more. So then I wanted more. And then, you know, I just like seeing the artistic part of it. You know, I drew up probably about 85% of my tattoos.
And how many do you have?
I have a good amount. I have my whole back tattooed. And I kind of had this concept of an idea that I wanted about kind of like a story about my life in general. And the guy that tattooed me, he took him like a day and a half. It was a 17-hour tattoo.
Oh my gosh!
But it was like I really wanted to get it because it really just spoke to me at the time, and I really wanted to get a back piece because I wanted to see his ability to put that art on my back, and it just spoke to me at the time. And he also taught me how to tattoo after that, just how to use the needles and the machines and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, that's something I can learn different with art. And I don't know, I've always enjoyed it. So now I have multiple tattoos that I've drawn up that also have meanings too.
That's great. So you said 85% of your tattoos on yourself you designed.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then, but not the one on your back. That was the one that he
I kind of laid out what I wanted and where I wanted and how I wanted things. And he kind of freestyled a lot of it.
Was there at any point in a 17-hour span of getting a needle dragged across you that you thought, maybe this isn't worth it?
Nah, it was worth it because I was really because it was really speaking to me about my life at the time. You know, I was going through some stuff and it was a tough year. And I look at it and now I'm like, all right, I just got to stay true to what my tattoo is pretty much telling me.
Because that's permanent.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. I have to stay true to what you know, my goals are and what things I'm going through in life and what I'm reaching for, you know, and towards life. So that's what kind of it talks about a lot.
That's cool. And have you tattooed anybody else?
Yeah, I've tattooed like 6-7 people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I
were tattooed they happy
my neighbor.
With it?
Yeah, they were happy with it. I mean,
well, at least they said that they're stuck with it at this point.
Yeah, they're stuck with it. So, but I mean, I did pretty good on them. It wasn't they weren't horrible tattoos. They were small, obviously. It wasn't a lot of shading, more line work, but I did pretty good. I tattooed some stuff on myself too, some stars.
You tattooed yourself?
Yeah, because I wasn't going to tattoo another human being without putting the needle on myself first. I just did the Roman numerals 13 for my grandfather. That's my favorite number. And then some stars on my wrist just to kind of see how deep I would be going or how the ink actually works on the skin.
Because
the skin is so soft. It's a different canvas, so it's hard to you have to be really – it's not like drawing on paper. That's just pretty much all I can explain it.
That had to be kind of terrifying to just be a guinea pig for yourself.
No, it actually felt pretty good because actually, you know, when you have somebody else tattooing, you don't know how hard their hand is. So it's like, man, how is this going to hurt? Because some tattoos really don't hurt and really depends on the artist. But, it didn't hurt at all. I guess I knew how deep I'd be going at the time. So
that's pretty crazy. Yeah. And then I have – you have a dog named Mello.
Mm-hmm.
And where did this name come from?
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony. Is this your favorite other athlete?
Yeah, that's my favorite athlete. Yeah. Wherever he goes, that's my new team. Yes, I'm a bandwagon player when it comes to basketball because of Carmelo Anthony.
That's
when
so
he retires,
funny.
I retire.
You're just never watching the NBA
again.
Yeah,
I'm never watching the NBA again. I watch the playoffs maybe and definitely the championship game, but when Melo's done playing ball.
That's it.
The regular season games are done. So.
Bandwagon fan. Why Carmelo Anthony?
I just always liked this game. Like, for some reason, I don't know, his confidence, the way he's able to score. You know, God, people are just getting on him about defense, but I like his game. I just like how he plays. And he's Puerto Rican, too. My mom's Puerto Rican. So I like it. I like his game.
I like that. That's pretty good. And is basketball your other big sport, or do you have other sports that you play?
It was always just football and track for me. And, I could play offense. I could play basketball and whatnot. But it was always just football and track for me. I never really was, like, huge into basketball like that. My brother was.
So if Melo was the big basketball player, who were the football players that you grew up idolizing and watching?
Marshall Faulk, Devin Hester. Marshall Faulk was hands down the reason probably I played football.
Wow.
He was my dad. I was watching football one Sunday, and he was with the Colts at the time. He was wearing number 28, I think, and he's running the ball, and I'm like, man, like what is this? What is he? I played soccer and baseball growing up when I was younger, but that first year watching him run the football, I was like, wow, like I could probably do that. So my mom wanted me to start off with flag football, and I wanted to play with pads, but I wore 28 a couple years when I was playing Little League. But he was always a guy I looked up to, you know, really looked up to as a running back and a receiver and running back. And he was a guy that kind of motivated me to play football.
That's crazy. So you wore 28 for a bit. Where'd the 36 you have now come from?
36 just came from my rookie numbers. I kind of wanted to start over this year because 27 was available when the season started. And I was like, man, that'd be good. And I had 27 majority of my career. And I was like, man, 27 would be good. But I'm like, nah, I'm just going to start clean slate, start all over like it was like my rookie year again.
Clean slate. I like that. That's pretty good. And, you know, I was thinking about how you, when you do all of your art stuff, a lot of what you draw is like superhero stuff. Mm. So did you already know about Gerald McCoy's superhero obsession before you got here? Or did you learn about that once you got here?
Yeah, I learned about it once I got here. Because then I see a lot of guys like with the, you know, the Under Armour type shirts with like Batman on them or Superman or whatever they have. And I'm like, man, okay, some guys on here, they appreciate it a little bit. And, you know, you can see Gerald has a passion for it. So
yeah.
He's undeniable passion for it.
That's pretty great. And has he asked you to, like, draw anything for him? I feel like this because he doesn't seem to have quite the art side of it.
Now, the only thing Gerald has asked me for is a handshake because I have multiple handshakes with everybody. So he's always like, yeah. He's like, how come you don't have a handshake with me? And then he just walked away because he was pissed off. But, yeah, I think if I draw a Batman picture for him, I think he'll forgive me.
He'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Or you could just have a handshake with him. That seems like an easier.
He's probably going to want both.
Yeah.
He's probably going to want both.
I think
so.
It's probably a good call when it's the team captain to just give him both.
Yeah. I drew a Batman picture, but it was like a sarcastic Batman picture I drew. It was kind of.
Who all do you have a handshake with?
So many people. I don't remember. I just see them and I know the handshake.
You just know.
I just said, I'm like, oh, that's the handshake
so
you did.
So why are you the guy that has handshakes with everybody?
I don't know. I'm just a handshake guy. I just have handshakes. I've always had handshakes with everybody. I've always had just multiple handshakes. Every team I've been on, I just had multiple handshakes.
And how do you come up with them?
It's just random. It's literally just random. We'll be in practice joking around and we'll do something with our hands and then we're like, hey, let's add something to that. Let's save that, but add something tomorrow. And then next thing you know, we have a handshake.
So do you do them all pregame, or is it during the game, or how does that work?
Yeah, I do them pregame, pre-practice. Because normally I'm always hyped and juiced enough in practice where I'm already warm, where I don't have to stretch too much. So it was the handshakes are pretty cool, though. You know, everybody enjoys them, too. So it's like it's kind of a fun way to still be out there like little kids having fun still. You know, you gotta enjoy football. You can't be like a robot out there. You know, you got to have fun and be smiling. It helps confidence helps help you make plays out there. So
how are you able to still have so much fun after being in the league for so long?
Just by my experiences, really, because I've been on teams that have lost a lot of games. I've been on teams where we won almost all of our games, you know, and I've been on a team where we made it to the Super Bowl and we're that close to winning it, and there's guys on the team that have been to Super Bowl and won them, you know, from the coaches down to the players, and just that feeling of playing in that game, you kind of just think about all the stuff and all the trials and tribulations you've been through your career, and it's like, man, like it's really been like a battle and an uphill like climb to that point, but it's been fun. Like when you think about all the stuff, like getting to that point and getting to that point in my career where I've played in a Super Bowl game and started in a Super Bowl game, it's just like you just think about all this stuff and it's like, man, gotta appreciate it because now I'm on year 8. And there's no telling more years I have, so I'm trying to enjoy every play and every second I'm out there with my friends and with the coaches and with the players. Because you may never know when you're going to see them again.
Yeah, that's true. What was it like to play in the Super Bowl? I mean, that's the thing that not very many people get to do.
Yeah, it was fun. I've always remember crying you know, when my team lost in a Super Bowl, and or you know, when Marshall Faulk was with the Rams and they lost to the Patriots, I was in tears. But it was it's just a fun game, you know. It's not, there was no sense of like nervousness or anything like that. It was just fun. It was just so much fun being in that game. You know, it's the game you dream of since you were a little kid. If you love football, you see that game. Everybody watches that game on TV. So it's like seeing that first kickoff, you see all the cameras going, all the flashing of the cameras. It's like, wow, I'm standing on the field right now with all this happening right now, and I've always seen this on TV.
I'm kind of so, a big deal.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's like every camera in the world is on us right now, on our team right now. So it's watching it, it's like surreal almost, but you don't have that feeling of like nervousness because it's the last game of the season. There's only one game left, and it's like, all right, let's get it done. You know, you're there for 2 weeks just talking to media the whole time. So it's like, all right, let's get the game started. Everybody's ready to go and get started. So it's a fun game, though.
That's pretty crazy. All right, we still have plenty more coming up on Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain, so don't go anywhere. This is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain. Right before the break, we were talking about what it was like for you to play in the Super Bowl, and I hear about a lot of people always talking about the difficulty of then if you lose the Super Bowl, of just almost the hangover that causes, and just what, I can't imagine that feeling of you reach the pinnacle, and I mean, you're the second best team, but it's like that doesn't matter. It's almost like, yeah, that if you ain't first, you're last. So yeah, was that the mentality for you? What did that feel like to have gotten there and then just barely come up short?
Yeah, it hurts, because you literally prepare, like we prepare from April all the way to the Super Bowl, all the way to February, you know, hopefully, and it's hard, and you get there and to lose a game like that, how we lost when I was with Carolina, it was just tough, you know. That was like probably the first game I've cried after a loss, like since high school. No. It's probably been some games in college, probably, but probably one or two games. But like, there's no feeling like that, you know, working that hard to get there and then not come, you know, coming up short, you know, and watching the other team with their confetti falling, their newspapers, and their hats on. It's like, wow, we just lost the biggest game in our lives, you know. And it's hard getting back there. Like, it's very hard getting back to the Super Bowl. It's a very difficult task. And you just try to keep pushing forward every year.
And then when you came here, what was your goal for yourself individually of when you came here? You talked about wanting a fresh start. That's why you picked a new number. So what did you want to accomplish here and the role that you wanted to play for this team and this defense?
Just to play as confident as possible. Just have no, like, when any mishaps happen, just rub it off. Just go play ball and just have fun. Have undeniable fun every single play, every single practice, and just have fun. Like, training camp. Training camp was just so much fun for me. And it wasn't tiring or anything. It wasn't a hassle. I just was enjoying the process and enjoying just the journey with my teammates.
And you have a lot of young guys in the secondary, and I know in particular you've gotten close to Justin Evans. What have you seen from him as a rookie and his ability to come in and make some pretty big plays? I mean, heck, intercepting Tom Brady in your first start as a rookie is a pretty big deal.
And I was talking to him that week. I'm like, bro, like, what if you pick off Tom Brady?
You said that to him that week?
Yeah. me and Justin talk about a bunch of random stuff, too. And I was like, man, you may pick off Tom Brady. And we literally just made up our handshake dance, like, that game, pregame. And we're like, yeah, we'll do that if you pick off Tom Brady.
And it
so
happened.
So when he got the pick, I was, like, on the sideline jumping. I'm like, I almost ran on the field. Because he was, like, right in front of me. And then right when he caught it, he was trying to get through the crowd. I just walked over to the water coolers and I was just waiting for him. But, yeah, he's a guy that's just, like, he takes coaching well. You know, he's picking up the playbook. He picks up the playbook fast. He's smart. Guy is quiet to himself and just about just doing his business, handling his job. And he's yes sir, no sir to the coaches. And he just goes about it like that. You know, that's the way you're supposed to go about your rookie year. You know, don't try not to say too much. Just do your job and be humble about it. When you make a play, make as many plays as you can and just try to get through your rookie year as successfully as possible. And that's what he's doing. You know, he's going to be a good safety in the future.
And then you've had JV and Elliott and Ryan Smith and guys that have had to step up in pretty big ways because of injuries. What have you seen from them, and how did you try to help them along the way?
They're like, everybody's just taking to teaching, man. Like, from me to Grimes, like, it's hard even saying I'm a veteran. Like, I never feel like I'm a veteran, but just
would that be admitting you're old? Is that why?
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but yeah, the guys just take coaching well, and they buy in, they listen to a lot of the young guys listen in our secondary, and you know, we haven't gotten the results that we wanted, you know, team wise with the wins, but you know, there's good things in the future for the young guys.
And so as a defense, what are the big goals that you guys have for yourselves in an individual game, maybe the rest of the season? What are the things that you guys are really striving for?
We just want to, well, obviously every Sunday we don't want the offense to score at all. But we just, every week we just have to strive to, you know, just try to make as many plays as possible to get the ball back to the offense. You know, I feel as though we're not, overall as a defense, not making enough plays, you know, to put offenses in scenarios where it benefits us more. I feel as though if we could start doing that more, which we have, I mean, there's not much time left. We have 8 games left in the season, so you have to flip things around. There's this higher sense of urgency now, so you have to. We just have to buy into that and be able to execute as best we can on defense. You know, we can score on defense also. It's going to be a little more difficult, but we have to try to find ways of scoring to help our team win.
It does seem like there's been a bit of a challenge to try and get both sides of the ball going together in one day, and that's always got to be kind of a weird feeling. Does it ever feel like one side kind of rubs off on the other? How do you try, when you're only playing on one side of the ball, how do you try and get that consistency with everyone, and, or maybe even within your whole unit, of trying to get all of everyone on the same page?
Yeah.
It feels like sometimes either good play or bad play can feel contagious. Is that fair?
Yeah, it can, but that's why guys have to know how to just rub it off and like build that confidence back up, because football is all about confidence. Like, a good friend of mine, Josh Norman, is a guy that just plays with undeniable confidence.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
a guy
fair.
That I've always, he's a good friend of mine, brother to me. And like, when I talk to him and like talk to him about ball and we're talking about our opponent, like, there's no shyness in him at all, you know. And that's what this sport is really about. It's not about, you know, the brutality and physicality part of it. You know, everybody's strong, everybody's fast in this league. So it's about that just confidence, knowing that you're going to beat your opponent. And we just have to all play with that confidence out there on all three phases.
It seems like Vernon Hargraves has definitely played with more of that, especially recently. A lot, he's seemed to pull out the aggressiveness a lot more out there. What have you seen that has led to him kind of having those moments of feeling a little bit more confident and like he's ready to go out there and be the attacker instead of waiting to receive it?
Yeah, you know, he's having fun. He's having fun also. He's smiling. And, you know, when things go awry like they are a little bit now, you know, when we're not winning as many games as we want to win, you know, the coaches are on us, you know, everybody's anxious to get a win, you know, from the staff to the players. You know, you want to try to do as much as you can. You know, I'm not one to judge any other player or anything like that, you know. But Vern's playing well, and I'm not sure what it was earlier or if there even was anything earlier, you know, but he's having fun. You know, he's playing confident, and he's going to be he's going to be another good player, a good corner in this league for a long time. And, you know, I'm happy to see him making a lot of plays out there, because, you know, I just want to win. Like, I just want our team to win so the young guys can experience the happiness, and hopefully if we could win the rest of these games, you know, experience that road to February, which is the greatest feeling ever, you know.
Yeah, and that fun you're talking about needing to have, it seems like especially on the defensive side of things, because I don't know if I'm right in this or not, but it feels like you almost don't have to keep your emotions in check quite as much as the offense might, that being really hyped up can help you guys. Like, not to the point where it makes you miss assignments, but it seems like y'all can maybe fly around a little bit more than they
we
can.
We have to deliver the hits and stuff, so like that's why I like it, because I enjoy, you know, hitting other people out there and stuff, and
instead of being the one getting hit.
Yeah, instead of being
that seems reasonable.
Yeah, so I'm kind of happy I'm on defense now, because I don't want to be the guy catching the ball and being teed off on, you know, like a sandbag or something. So,
so do you feel like injecting fun again into the defense is something you guys are going to need to do? That's what a lot of people have actually said has helped the Jets, who you guys face this weekend. As you've seen, the Jets are out there dancing between plays a lot, no matter what happens. And so is that something that you guys think you need to inject, or is it you almost have to win first before you can have fun? It's a kind of a catch-22. If you got to have fun to win, but you got to win to have fun.
Yeah, you just got to have fun. You just got to – if you make plays, if you just tell yourself, all right, like for me, I like to start fast, like with how I play, just to gain that. I mean, I'm always gonna play confident, but I like to make a play early and fast, whether it's just like getting my hands on a block or getting off a block real fast. Even if the ball's not thrown my way early in the game, I need to do something to kind of get my, like, something like me irking to go, you know, just to help me build my confidence. And, you know, like I said, good player, bad player, you just have to have that undeniable just focus and faith in that you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right.
You definitely got one of those confidence-building plays earlier this year, your first pick six of your entire career.
Yeah.
That had to have been something you had looked forward to for your entire career, I imagine.
Yeah.
And then it finally came. How was that for you this season to have known that, especially so early on in the season, to have that moment to know that, you know, when you would come here and you still had plays like that to look forward to?
It was cool because, you know, that kind of just set, like, a benchmark for me for the season where it's like, all right, I've been doing everything the right way this year. You know, I've been praying and I've been focused. I've believed and I've been patient. And, you know, just me making that play was just God just validating, like, listen, just trusting me and believing me and everything's be all right. And I was like, wow, like, I got my first career interception. And, you know, 2017 has just been, it's been ups and downs, but overall I've just been, like, just happy. Just, like I said, I just kind of embrace life and embrace, you know, enjoying the times I have with my teammates and my daughter and stuff and my family. I just embrace it all. And that blessing I got that day against Chicago, I was like, wow. I was like, yep, I just got to keep going now and just keep doing the right things and staying focused week by week.
All right, we still have one more segment coming up here. Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain. Our final segment here, we got the Jets coming up this weekend back at home. Obviously, you talked about earlier how much, you know, these games are starting to matter for just the momentum swing and the overall mood of the team. And now we found out today, Coach told all of us that Jameis is not going to be the one that's there for in a couple weeks. We don't know exactly how long he's going to be out, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be taking over as quarterback. And, you know, he'll be going against his former team, which I know is a thing you know a thing or two about. You didn't get to play against Carolina because of your concussion. I know you were so upset about that. So is that a thing that players, you guys really do get amped about, is going against the former team?
You love it because, you know, you've been on that team, you're familiar with the team, and you practice against that team. So it's like, all right. You know, a lot of the team hasn't changed much. So when you play them, it's like, all right, cool. And I get to play against my old friends and my old coaches and stuff. So it's fun. That's a super fun game. It's like playing against, like, your brother that just plays in a league higher than you or something. You finally get to show your skills off against them, you know. So those games are always fun.
And I asked you in the break if you were familiar with Josh McCown, how often you'd played against him, and you said once, but I bet he remembers you based on what you said happened. Tell everybody what happened when you played against him.
Yeah, last time I played against him, I think it was 2014 or 13. I forgot which year it was. We played him Thursday night, and I blitzed off the edge and kind of, like, jumped in the air. And he threw a ball, and his hand kind of, like, hit my helmet. So I think I messed up his hand a little bit that game because he didn't come back in. But it wasn't intentional or anything. I was just kind of jumping, kind of getting away. Yeah.
It's all right.
But, that's the only kind of thing I remember from that game. The game was so long ago. That's the only thing I really remember.
Yeah, so he, as of right now, is second in the league in completion percentage. He's completing 70.4% of his passes, that he's thrown a lot of very safe routes, essentially. So for you in particular, your position, when you see that a quarterback is playing a pretty safe game, how does that change or influence what you're going to need to do?
I'm at the challenge the shorter routes, you know, force him ahead. I have to force the quarterback to say, hey, you're going to throw it, it's going to be a pass breakup, or you're going to throw it, it's going to be a pick. So I have to make sure that every route is just challenged, that he has to pinpoint the ball accurate every time it's thrown my direction. So I'm always excited to play on Sunday, so it's just an extra challenge. You know, every week's a new challenge, so I'm always excited for it.
And this is the halfway point now. You guys have played 8 games, you got 8 left, no bye week now. So for you guys, knowing that, what are the goals now for the second half of the season? Obviously, when the first half did not go how the team thought it was going to, expected it to go to, and I know you guys had higher expectations for yourself. So now, how do you use this second half of the season to do what you guys know you're capable of?
Everybody's to find themselves right now. We have to say, we have to take it like, all right, this is our halftime break, Monday and Tuesday, and come out like just on fire for the second half of the season, and take it one game at a time. I know it's the usual stuff everybody always says, but take it one game at a time and, you know, just try to go out there and get the win at all costs. Like, it's just, you have to take it one game at a time and just get one win at a time, and we'll be fine.
Does it feel better to be coming back home at this point, based on especially this what's gone on these last few games? Does it feel a little bit good to be in front of the friendly home crowd?
Yeah, because I'm always losing things on away trips, so I think it's a I'm tired of the away games.
You can't afford to lose anything.
Yeah,
else.
I can't afford to lose anything else. I keep losing valuable stuff, so I'm happy we're at home this game, so I don't have to stress too much about where my car keys are and stuff and things like that.
You're too focused on football to
be
paying
attention. Yeah, I get too focused on football.
Stuff.
I wear my keys.
So whenever you know that, you know, the Jets in particular, their defense has been playing at a higher level recently, and when you know that, obviously, again, you know, Fitzpatrick going to be the quarterback for us, and so there's already offensively a few different things than normal. Do you guys ever feel like that puts more pressure on you as a defense, or are you just going out there and doing your thing? It doesn't matter what the offense is going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I try not to worry, because if I worry about what the offense is doing, I'm just going to stress myself out more. So I don't worry about what the offense is doing or what special teams is doing. I just control what I can control, or if I do have to contribute on special teams, I control what I can control on special teams. So just when plays come upon me to make plays, and whether it's defensively or special teams, I just try to do my best ability to make those plays. But other than that, if the offense is having like an off day, there's nothing I really can do. I can't be like, hey, put me at quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to make this. I'm about to do this. Or, hey, put me at receiver. I'm going to make this catch. Or, hey, put me at guard. I'm going to make this block.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely don't think that would go well.
Yeah, yeah. My weight is way out of that. So, but, nah, I don't look at the offense and say, hey, like, oh, man, like, and try to worry about that. You know, I try to worry about what I can do to help the team win.
And so for you, home game back there this Sunday, you talked about how much you need to be having fun out there and getting your defense having fun as well. What are the moments on a home game in particular that you really look forward to and that get you particularly hyped up?
You know, coming out the tunnel, you know, just the home crowd and the fans out there. It's fun having the fans out there, you know, win or lose. I know they want to see us win, but, you know, that energy they bring, it helps build confidence, you know, having fans and the, you know, the people out there supporting us helps you build that confidence, you know, and it's fun making that play here in the crowd yell. And so, man, I love home games, home or away games, because in away games you get to see the crowd be quiet when you make a play. So, I mean, either way, I'm going to have fun regardless. But, you know, this week we have to really be on our P's and Q's, because it's a good team.
Yeah, that's true. And now everyone knows to be paying attention to you pregame for all those handshakes.
Yeah. My handshakes will be out there, so they'll be ready.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck Sunday. We're excited to see you get out there and maybe get that second career pick six. We'll root for that one.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us here. Buccaneers Total Access with Robert McClain, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Looking forward to seeing all of you out there on Sunday at Raymond James Stadium for the Buccaneers versus the New York Jets. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. This is 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.